Open your Bibles tonight. We've got Betty. What are you sitting way back there for?
Stay over there.
Just stay over there. Now, when we're dismissed, would you go ahead and be the first one to leave? And the rest of you, be sure and walk out this other door. Don't touch any handles. Why don't we look for just a few moments, and then we'll spend some time in prayer. Why don't we look at Psalms 2? Psalms 2 is one of those messianic psalms that speaks of the anointed Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it speaks of the establishment of His kingdom. And so why don't we read it? Let me just give you a little bit of introductory background to this psalm. It was last Tuesday morning we were here praying on our Tuesday morning prayer meeting. And as we were praying, and we were particularly praying for our world situation, that this psalm came to my mind. And in particularly, the verse that says, "And he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision." That's what came to my mind as I was praying, as we were praying for the nations and the rulers of the nations and some of the things that are going on. Is we got to remember that our God, He's not wringing His hands. He is busy about His kingdom will be established. And contrary to what a lot of people would say. So why don't we read it? Psalms 2, beginning in verse 1. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king up on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree: the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Why do the heathen rage? We know the heathen rage because of the fact that this is a lost world, that man has a heart that is depraved. That as James would ask the question, you know, where do wars and fightings come from? And he puts his finger on it. Don't they come hence even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have. And you cannot obtain. You fight a war and you have not because you ask not. And then he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." And so we know where it comes from. And so as I was the other morning, as this psalm came to my mind, I couldn't but help to think of the events that have come home in the last, the last 2-3 weeks. And it's not just the last 2-3 weeks, but we're in the information society. I mean, something can happen around the globe, and 5 minutes later we'll have it right before us. It's not that we have to wait for the 6 o'clock news to have headlines of something that happened 24 hours ago. Something can happen across the world and the stage of mankind, and we'll have it right before our eyes. I mean, people will send it on you. You can even have it on your telephone where news will come and you see it. The recent events have really brought this home. The recent events of the UN Assembly in New York. Did anybody watch any of that? Did anybody watch any of that? What was happening where the UN come together and the leaders on an annual basis? And I was watching a tiny bit of that, and particularly the haughty arrogance of the wicked, the evil displays, and the communication, and particularly by this leader, Hugo Chavez, the Venezuelan president. Anybody see any of that? And the remarks that he made, Chavez said of the area around the podium, this is what he said: "It doesn't smell like sulfur, it is gone." Instead, he said he smelt hope. Of course, those were the allusions of Chavez's 2006 UN appearance, where he made reference, where he called President Bush the devil, and matter of fact, you see that President Barack Obama, who has made hope his stock in trade, and the smell of sulfur, remember, of course, traditionally associated with Satan and with hell and all of the wickedness that's there. And so, I mean, this guy is there in front of the nations, and that in particularly the nation that is hosting that and really paying for all of that. How about the speech that the Iranian president Mohammad Ahmadinejad made, and the wicked remarks concerning Israel? You think about it for a moment. And I mean, we're talking about openly and publicly that here is a leader that stands before the nations and of the peoples that really have invited them to come and puts a roof over his head and food in his belly. And the wicked remarks that he made concerning Israel, the hatred to destroy, to drive them into the sea. Think about it. What about the attitudes of the North Korean, their leader Kim Jong, and recently, just a few weeks ago, firing the rockets to provoke, you see, the nations, and then, of course, the lack of response of some of the nations to all of that. What about Muammar al-Gaddafi, his speech? Did anybody listen to any of that? And the ungodly rambling, you see, for about 90 minutes, and shaking his fist in those faces of the people that were there. Do you know the guy that was doing the translating, after about 60 minutes, an hour, that he literally, he fell aside, and he just could not continue in the translating of this man's speech for all of the nonsense and the ungodliness that was connected to it. He just literally quit translating, and somebody else had to take over for him. What do you think about the shaking his fist in those faces to some of those nations that would have a semblance of righteousness, with the flexing of the muscles and the military might in order to cause fear and trembling? What do you think about the release here about 3 weeks ago of the man who was in part responsible for the flight of 103 at Lockerbie bombing, that were so many people, 243 passengers and 16 crew members lost their lives, and that this man was sentenced in 2001, and because of health reasons, they had released him on a compassionate ground to return to Libya, and as they were saying that he was suffering from a terminal prostate cancer, and he had a life expectancy of less than 3 months. And then when he gets there to that nation, what do you find? You find that you hear is, we're talking about the embracing, the celebration of one that is have a hero's welcome. And I'm looking at this, that is this not a reminder that we are in a dark, evil, depraved world, where you have leaders with a haughty, proud leaders with arrogant spirits that would flex their muscles, and all of that is good and righteous, you see, and a shaking a high hand into the face of God and all that is right, and those that have a tendency to have some semblance of righteousness. No doubt there are those that would call evil good and good evil. It's very interesting to me, tomorrow there's going to be a meeting, and it would, I'd like to be a fly and sit in on that, between U.S. and Britain and France and Russia and China and Germany. They will meet in Geneva to discuss Iran's nuclear program. And I mean, this guy has already stood, and of course, you know, the recent elections, and you know, there are, I have to say that there are some people in Iran who are absolutely protesting that here is this tyrant who is the leader, that who has not given 2 cents worth of space for Israel and some of the other free, loving countries around the globe. But they're going to have a meeting. And you see, at the same time, this past Monday, they fired 3 missiles which are capable to hit Israel. And I mean, we're talking about, when we look at all of this with human eyes, when we look at all of this with human eyes without having the focus of human history upon the Word of God, you know, it would be the kind of thing that you want to say, you know, somebody unplug the TV and get rid of cable and get rid of the cell phone. I don't want to hear anything that's going on. But you see, when you think about all of that, it looks like that in this messianic psalm that speaks of the anointed, appointed Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who will come and establish His kingdom, if you look at that and look and see where we are, and you don't keep your eye on this book and what the Lord has prophesied, that could be very discouraging. But at the same time, we find that the arrogance and the pride that is displayed by the nations and its leaders is, first of all, it is but for a moment. Think about it. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. I mean, you talk about a foolish thing. The rulers and the people imagine vain things, and they take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointing, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." In other words, it's going to be outright rebellion against the living God. Can you imagine the raging, the imagination, the counsel against the Lord and all that the Lord stands for against the Lord's Christ? Can you think about that, how foolish that is? What do you think? And then consider the Lord in the second place when you look at here this passage as we read Psalms 2, Brother Billy. That consider the Lord in how He looks at all of that. What does He do? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. In Psalms 37, verse 12, we read, "The wicked plotted against the just and gnashed up on him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have set and bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken." And that's good for us to know as Christians. That they might stand before the UN, they might stand before and have all of their filth and their wickedness openly parade before a nation. They may even have people, you see, sitting on their edges and be concerned and worried about. But I've got news for you. That has not caught our God off guard. He is simply amused by the folly and the foolishness that man would raise a hand and shake a fist into the face of God. It is utter foolishness. The second thing that this passage tells us is that the Lord shall have them in derision. Does not the Word of God say, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay"? The third thing that we find, "And he shall speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." We find in the concluding remarks of the book of Revelation where the Lord Jesus is going to be revealed before the world, and there we read, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains." And you think about people like Adolf Hitler. You think about people who are in the history of mankind. The wicked people, and there are wicked, wicked people that have been on the scene, that have been brutally, you see, just spit in the face of God and disregarded for all that has to do with life, that they're all going to stand before the Lord. And you see, they hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, can you imagine that? "Fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Folks, that's going to come. And you see, that's going to come because, you see, God doesn't just close his eyes. You know, the very discussion that we've had in these last few days about this so-called artist, the movie maker, the filmmaker, the Roman whatever his whatever Skinsky from that is such a talented movie maker that had raped a 13-year-old girl, you see, given her drugs and put her under, and then raped her, and then 35 years or whatever have passed by, and that there are some that have said, you know, what's the big deal? After all, she has forgiven him. Let's just leave it alone. You know, what in the world? Folks, that's not going to happen. You see, sin is something that God is going to deal with, and sin is going to be dealt with one way or another. It's either dealt with on Calvary's cross. And that those who are under, those who are joined to the saving way, you see, the Lord Jesus has taken the justice upon him on for their sake. But folks, that those who are not joined to the Lord Jesus in the saving way, there is going to be an eternity of the justice and the wrath of God. They will never able to be paid for that they have committed. So this Roman guy, whatever his name is, Polanski, Roman Polanski, that he thinks that he may get out from underneath the justice, but I've got news for you. If he's not in the Lord Jesus, oh really? And so we find in the scriptures very plainly and clearly that the Lord will deal with people. The third thing that we find in this passage is this, is that consider the Lord and his purposes. Yet have I set my king up on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. Now I want to ask you something, my friend. Who is going to hold the Lord's hands? Who's going to hold the Lord's hands and going to say to the Lord, what are you doing? Anybody? I mean, that's a foolish thought, isn't it? Yet have I. When you see God speaking of that, here are the heathens, they're raging. They have set themselves against God and his anointed. And I mean, you know, the Lord says, I'm in the heavens, I'm laughing. I'm going to have you in derision. I have my purposes, and there is nothing that's going to change that, period. Mm-hmm. And that's a marvelous thing to know, that the Lord hath said unto me, thou my son, this day have I begotten thee. You know, by the way, that, you know, this second psalm is really quoted many times in the New Testament. One place where this is quoted is in Acts chapter 4. And I believe it was right after Peter was arrested and he was released, that the church comes together and the church prays, and they pray part of this psalm. Why do the heathens rage? And so the purpose, when you think about what the Lord has a purpose, you see, is in verse 8, he says, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And then consider the Lord Jesus in this passage, the one that this passage is really speaking of. You know, when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, that name has been used as a byword and a curse word and every other which word that you can imagine in the history of mankind. But one of these days, you know what's going to happen? Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. And that includes Adolf Hitler, that includes Mussolini, that includes Chavez, that includes, you see, the Korean guy, and all of the others that have, you see, with a high-handed, rebellious fist shaken in the face of the Lord. Hey, Don, you can't get away from that thing. I mean, you're a... Speaking of the Lord Jesus, and then in the sixth place, It says in verse 9, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. And then verses 11 and 12, I want to say, oh, how people ought to respond to the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's it gives us some practical instructions here. Because he says in verse 11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. And then listen to this next verse, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. What is he saying here? He's saying that as we're made aware of his sovereignty, as we're made aware of his kingship, as we're aware of the fact that he's going to judge and rule the nations, as we are made aware of that, don't you think that we ought to direct people to the Lord Jesus with a heart of affection, kiss the Son lest he become angry? What do you think? You know, there, when you think about some of the people that we live with and work with and have to do with, and some of the attitudes that are displayed, and some of the wickedness that is openly, you know, talked about, and a high-handed, arrogant, haughty spirit that is directed to the Lord Jesus, I wonder if this is not a verse of Scripture that that we ought to at times use to say, kiss the Son lest he become angry. And that we would encourage them, lest you perish from the way and his wrath is kindled but a little. And then lastly in this psalm, and I so much appreciate that, is that when we consider the lesson that we have in this prophetic psalm and what it means to us as the children of God and as believers, be wise now therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth, and then blessed are all those that put their trust in him. And so when we look at the world around us, and when we see it looks like, apparently, it looks like, sometimes when you listen to all of this stuff, it looks like that evil and wickedness looks like it's winning in it. That we know the end. The Lord is saying to us, you trust and put your confidence in me, because this is not all there is in history. The first time the Lord Jesus came, what did they do with him? He came in form and fashion like you and I. He came as the humble servant. He came and I mean, he was there on Calvary's tree, crucified to the cross, and there he accomplished the eternal purposes in redemption. And the Lord Jesus, he's the second time he's coming, folks. He's not going to come that same. He's not going to be coming in a stall. He's going to come as the resurrected, sovereign King, Lord of Lords. And when he makes himself known, those that do not know him will say, hide me. Rocks and hills, fall on me and cover me from him. Oh Lord, help us to keep our eyes on that as we live our lives. We need to pray tonight, thank him for these truths, and thank him for the fact that we know that there is a kingdom that's going to be established. You know what? In this kingdom, we're not going to have any more discussions of everything that's going on politically. Oh my goodness, some of the stuff that you hear, you want to say, oh Lord. It's going to be a kingdom where righteousness dwelleth. There's not any more sin. There's not going to be any more misunderstanding. There's not going to be the political stuff and garbage goes on in the back rooms and then come out in front and have some kind of a semblance of that we have the best interest in mind for those who are members of this nation. It's going to be a kingdom where righteousness dwelleth. And I'm eagerly looking forward to it. I won't have to say to my wife, I'm sorry, that was the wrong attitude. And she won't have to say to me, yep, you're right. And that's going to be a thing of the past. And I tell you what we need to do. Let's be busy and about and being a reflection of the Lord Jesus as we live our lives in godliness and righteousness, as we're salt and light in this, on this side of eternity, and that we eagerly look forward to and seeing and seeing as he is. Let's pray tonight. We've got the swine flu in our midst.